As I mentioned, I was away last week. I was actually out of the country with my family. And when I finally got cell service arriving back here in New York on Saturday, my phone blew up. And it was messages from people, listeners, colleagues, friends, family members, and even emergency management departments, including the one here in Bridgeport. Scott Appleby was one of the messages I saw when I first touched down Saturday afternoon. And I'm hearing all about this earthquake, this massive earthquake, and the fact that it was felt right here in our listening area. It was a 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey that happened right around 10:30 in the morning on Friday, but it was felt right here in Connecticut. How in the world did that happen? And is this something common that we see in the tri-state area, in the Northeast? I wanted to get some perspective on this. And so I'm very excited to welcome to the show for the first time, Jeffrey Park. Jeffrey is a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Yale University, and he joins us now for more. Hey, Jeffrey, welcome to WICC. Thank you so much for being here.
It's good to be here this morning.
First of all, Jeffrey, how common is it for us to have an earthquake of that magnitude? In fact, let's even back up more. Is that a lot, a 4.8? I'm not too familiar with, like, the earthquake scales and all that.
Well, the earthquake scale is logarithmic. That means it scales with powers. And that means that the earthquake in New Jersey, a magnitude 4.8, would be about 30 times smaller than the earthquake in 2011 in Virginia that was felt over an even wider area.
Wow.
You recall the Mineral Virginia earthquake that also shook up the tri-state area, even though it was quite far away.
Mm-hmm. I do actually remember that, yes. And so that, but again, with that magnitude, so obviously it can impact even the states around them, which is pretty significant. But is 4.8, is that stronger than what we would typically see in our area?
Yes, it is stronger than what you typically see. In the northeastern United States, there are networks of old faults that are not very active, but they will have small to moderate earthquakes that might be magnitudes 2 to 3 to 4 and all the way up to 5, with a potential to be 6. There's historical records that suggest that some of these faults could occur, could create that. But there's not a clear pattern. They don't map out fault zones like they do in California. The fault zones we talk about are the ones that are mapped by geologists, like walking around looking at interfaces between different rock formations.
Wow. So how in the world did this happen in New Jersey?
Well, there's a large number of these old fault zones here, and the continent is under some stresses that are sometimes complicated. People argue about where they all come from. What we do know is that they're not like the Western United States, where you have two big tectonic faults that are grinding past each other. We're kind of in the middle of a big plate, the North American plate. And so all of the stresses are basically the flexing of that plate. And so they're typically much smaller and much more infrequent. We would get a noticeable earthquake, you know, maybe magnitude 4 to 5 in the Northeast about every decade.
Okay. So would you call what happened in New Jersey rare, or that's sort of expected that somewhere in the Northeast we would have that magnitude, that kind of an earthquake happen like every 10 years or so?
Well, both of them apply. In terms of everyone who's listening, you're going to feel an earthquake every 10 years. That means it's rare. But to a geologist, it's like a kind of a slow intermittent thing. You know, I can remember back to a magnitude 4 on the same sort of fault system near New York City that caused everyone to try to rethink all of the building codes, especially those of the nuclear power plants, so that they could withstand the kind of shaking that we experienced last Friday.
Wow. And again, we have Jeffrey Park here, who is a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Yale University, talking about this earthquake that happened in New Jersey. And when I was watching the national news this morning, They said that this was one of the largest, if I heard it correctly, if not the largest, or the, I guess, the strongest magnitude earthquake New Jersey has experienced. I don't know if it was in its history or in recent history, but this was pretty significant for New Jersey, it sounded like.
Well, certain it is significant for New Jersey. It's the largest in at least, you know, our time of seismic records, because that only goes back to the early 20th century. We have only had records of seismometers going back that far. However, you know, in historical records, we have records of tremors. People would report that there had been an earthquake, there had been damage, and we kind of estimate the magnitudes of those old earthquakes, pre-instrumental earthquakes, we call them, from the felt area and the damage at the close to the to where the main shock occurred.
Wow. And as you mentioned, Jeffrey, this is, you know, to this magnitude certainly can be seen as rare. You know, every 10 years or so, like you said, in Virginia, you said it, that massive magnitude earthquake that did also impact, especially Southern Connecticut as well. That was in, you said, 2011. So about 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah. Well, many of your listeners could probably remember that earthquake. That was about in the run up to I believe it was Hurricane Irene.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was going to say, because I was living up in Vermont at that time. I was in school, but I do remember my parents saying, if I remember it was them correctly, saying that they remember, like, the house rattling or the window. Like, they could remember feeling it for an instant, and it was scary. Scary.
Yeah. So it's rare for ordinary citizens, but, you know, government officials have to, like, take this into account, and also, you know, insurance companies, because they have to think on terms of decades and longer. Mm-hmm. Whenever they're trying to, like develop either policies or ways of insuring property.
If you are here in Connecticut and you were here last week, you might have felt it too. We're talking about that 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey that happened just before 10:30 in the morning Friday. And yes, it was felt here in Connecticut, especially in our listening area. To talk more about this, we have actually an expert on the show with us. We have Jeffrey Park here for the first time. And hopefully you will not be a stranger, Jeffrey, because I love talking to you. He's a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Yale University. And I wanted to talk beyond just what happened last Friday and the impacts it had here on Connecticut. Connecticut is really no stranger technically to earthquakes, but much smaller. In fact, it was back on March 28th of this year that a small earthquake, it was a 1.8 magnitude quake, struck right near Ledyard. It was at around 8:30 in the morning. So I was curious, Jeffrey, why do earthquakes seem to happen sort of in the same, like, it never, I don't really feel like earthquakes happen Fairfield County, New Haven County. It's usually more in, like, the upper part of Connecticut, or like, how do earthquakes, I guess, pick and choose where they happen? Does that make sense?
that is a good question, and of course, it's the mystery that seismologists puzzle over as part of our, like, trying to understand these natural processes and explain them to the public. In Connecticut, there are no active fault zones in the sense of some fault zone that, you know, has to keep moving at a certain rate over time as predicted by some large scale geologic process. That means it's very different from, say, like the San Andreas Fault in California, which, you know, that when you average over a century or a couple centuries, has got to move something like 5 centimeters a year. And then you think about that entire ribbon of rock along the coast of California that's got to move about that much on average, and it usually moves in big jumps of earthquakes.
Wow.
Out here in Connecticut, we just have stresses that are stressing all these very, very old fault zones. These old fault zones, they're dating back, you know, 100 million years to 400 million years. And they were last really active in the sense that the San Andreas Fault was active back when dinosaurs were roaming across Connecticut. And, you know, those same dinos that you can see their footprints up in Central Connecticut.
That's wild. So, so
oh,
wild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so so what you instead is that you just have ordinary stresses that have that are kind of in the background that occasionally will break the rock apart because they become large enough to do that. That's about 100 bars, about 100 times the stress associated with the atmosphere. But it takes a while to do that, and it's usually only rupturing a small part. Let's put this into perspective. If you have like a magnitude 4.8 earthquake, the one that was in New Jersey, that's kind of equivalent to having an area about the size of Yale University or about the size of a large golf club, golf course, that is, that not golf club, a golf course, that would actually move about 5 inches to 6 inches.
And which sounds like nothing, but that's a huge amount of space to move that kind of a shift. That's to me, that sounds like a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big deal. It's both small in the sense that it's small in area relative to the entire state, but it's a big deal when you think of actually moving all that much rock.
Exactly.
In fact, that much strain in the rock has an energy release that's equivalent to like a small nuclear bomb.
Well, then no wonder people felt it in Connecticut. I mean, that's a really great comparison. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone who's seen Oppenheimer and remembers the scene mm-hmm. when Trinity exploded, the energy of that Trinity explosion, it was comparable to the energy release underneath New Jersey on Friday.
Wow. So here's my question, Jeffrey, because I know we are running out of time, but I am curious. You just said a couple minutes ago, there's really no rhyme or reason as far as stress areas in Connecticut. We don't really have the answer as to why certain areas have earthquakes happen. And so with that, I'm curious, mm-hmm. since basically anyone in Connecticut, unless I'm deducing something I shouldn't be, since anyone in Connecticut could technically experience an earthquake, because we don't really, it's not like we could say, oh, if you live in Fairfield County, you are not a stress area. That we don't know that, actually. What should people be thinking about, or should they be, considering in case a future earthquake happens in our state, you know, no matter what magnitude?
Well, for most people, they're going to be pretty safe because, you know, an event like this happens maybe once a decade. And for everyone, it's in Connecticut, at least it was maybe it's a bit of shaking. You're jostled, but there's not much damage. In fact, in Connecticut, I don't know if there's any reports of any damage.
No, I haven't
but
seen anything.
It's like with any kind of natural disaster, you have to be prepared to go out and check to make sure that structures are okay. The government has to be ready to like test bridges and vulnerable buildings. If you're closer to one of the fault zones that geologists map, you might want to stay a little bit more aware. But we're not going to have situations like you have to worry about in California, where it's a good idea to have a gallon of water with you at all times.
That's true. It's all relative, right? But it is definitely something that became the talk of the town for understandable reasons in the last few days. Mm-hmm. And so, Jeffrey Park, I want to thank you so much for coming on and really breaking this down for us and sharing this information. And like I said, please don't be a stranger. We love having you on WICC.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Jeffrey Park again, who is a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Yale University, here on Melissa in the Morning.